Hello and welcome to Saga Quest episode 400. I'm your host, Final Fantasy Wheels legend, and with me as always,
gaining stats like a mutant, David Bernie, Family Master.
And took a wrong turn, somehow ended up in a world of, like, just primordial world of animals, and now I have three stray house cats who also kick ass. Your man in Japan, Michael Baker, Gaiji Mino Guitar.
Special Saga correspondent.
Centennial Man, Platinum 3, a.k.a. Matt Mason. I'm here quest for dragons in Saga.
Woo! Yes.
Yeah, I suppose there's a few dragons in there.
That's sagacious of you.
Yes, somehow in this show only about Saga, we have managed to make it 400 episodes. It's amazing.
Listen, there's lots to discuss. We can randomly generate new topics depending upon how the last how the last thing went.
Yeah, really.
Many generations have passed.
Sometimes you spark, and then there's a new emperor.
And sometimes random stuff just happens.
What Saga games have we been playing this week?
Yes. Well, let's all do our light bulb of the day.
We have to spark a
little bit. Well, I am currently in the triangular technocracy of somewhere in the middle of Emerald Beyond. And, yes, the anti-triangles are fairly strong at this point. Eventually I will take them all down.
Who can say what lies in the Emerald Beyond?
Who knows, because there's a whole lot of doors that we never get to go through.
It's true. I still need to replay some more storylines in that game. Not going back to it since my review.
That'll be next episode.
Yes.
At least before 500, definitely.
We have all sorts of Saga to discuss before we reach 500. It's a never-ending well.
Sure, who knows? Maybe we'll finally get that unlimited Saga remaster.
I'm hoping for a full remake.
Yes, that would be nice.
I mean, it's got a really good story and setting behind it. It's just we're not sure exactly what Kawazu was smoking when he decided on how to present it.
I mean, I can tell exactly what he was going for. I just don't think he fully succeeded.
No. Like, I feel like Emerald Beyond and Scarlet Grace
are very much continuations of some of the ideas behind that presentationally.
Especially Emerald Beyond.
Yeah, I mean, they're similar, but I feel like still Unlimited Saga was going for something a little different than even they were, and I would like to see. I'd like to see a better version of that.
It's full tabletop.
Yeah,
it was very much a tabletop style experience. Supposedly. I would like to see, I mean, even just an updated one with, you know, better, what's the right word here? Quality assurance and documentation, especially the documentation.
That doesn't put the rest function on the goddamn R3 button.
Oh God, why? Why? Yeah.
Why? I don't know what I was doing there.
Who knows? I mean, any game where in order to properly play it, you should probably read the novel length FAQ on Game Facts, because the game doesn't explain itself well enough to understand what's going on or what you're doing.
Confusable games.
Not even joking about the length. That thing is novel length.
No one who has even like glanced at the game's mechanics will be surprised that is novel length.
Yes.
It's got really pretty art and music, though. Everyone should at least go listen to the music.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful game. I was not at all surprised to see that was the first game PlayStation 2 game I could get in Japan for less than 500 yen.
Not at all surprising.
In 2006. It was not that long after it was released and still well within the life of the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, it was like a 2003 release, at least in the US, yeah. I think, because it came.
Yeah, it was.
I know in Japan at one point it came bundled with an FF10-2 demo,
which is what really sold it a lot. Just the memory of where I remember seeing it for that price. That I know which city it was in, so it would have had to have been 2005 or early 2006.
Gotcha. So it was a couple years old, but even a game that's a couple years old won't typically reach sub $5.
Yeah.
Unless it's a remainder sports game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, those.
Would you play a Saga sports game? Just spark a new play in your football game.
Sounds really fun, actually.
honestly, I could see a Saga version of Inazuma 11.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
That would actually work pretty well.
Make all the random battles go a little bit cooler.
Just a bit.
I enjoyed my time with, I think, the first Inazuma 11, and oh my gosh, just running into people.
And now there are 8 Inazuma 11s afterwards.
Exactly. Oh gosh.
I don't think we've hit Inazuma 11-11, though.
No.
Not That's quite.
But it feels like that feels like it needs to happen logistically.
Mm-hmm. But then they give it a different name instead of a number. But anyway, we're getting off topic here, because we are talking about Saga.
Sure. Yeah.
The only game that matters.
Hey, we sparked some new discussions. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, that's true.
Randomness occurs. You guys were talking about Chaos how range. Unlimited Saga. Yeah. I think Wheel said that Scarlet Grace and Emerald Beyond took some ideas from Unlimited Saga. I have been playing Scarlet Grace Ambitions this week. Woo! This time I chose to start with Erpina, to her story. And I had tried this game. I looked at my last save. My last save was from July of 2020, so I've gone a whole 5 years here between giving this thing a go. I will say, I understand the battle system now. Like, after playing so many other, I've tried other Saga games quite a bit, and with Alliance Alive and everything, I'm like, okay, I see where this goes now. I have realized what I got to focus on in the battle. I got to knock out the people to get the combo attacks. Just wish I could. Is there a way to heal in battle?
No. I mean, there is a spell that you can learn later on, but you don't really rely
really
on it.
Really not how the game is designed to work.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, other games in the series, yeah, you've got healing spells, but Scarlet Grace, nah.
Everyone beats on each other until one side is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out how to get the little icons to clink together properly.
Yep, yep. Dun, 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 and dun, dun. Now that I feel like in 2020, I did not know that was the goal. Even though I feel like I was told that, and you know, episode like 233 or 312 definitely covered that. But I didn't really get that. But Erpina is teaching me things. Made it through the first area. I probably shouldn't have told some guy that I could defeat a tower or something. I should have looked in the. Looked into some legend he told me.
Yeah.
I told him, oh, I can just beat those people up, and then they appeared, and I go over to him, and it's like brutal difficulty. Literally, that's the word he uses. I was like, nope. We're not going to play around with brutal. Give me the normal. Give me the easy. I've lost enough LP on normal battles. I don't need to bother with brutal right now. Deal with that later. So that's been my saga this week.
You should try Emerald Beyond sometime. It does a better job of giving you all the details of the battle system than Scarlet Grace did. It also does a good job, better job of pushing you forward through the story.
Well, I will say I started in Erpina's province area with her brother. Ruling, and about an hour and a half into it, I had done everything in the area that I could. There was literally, I wanted to take on those brutal fights. There was nothing more that I could battle. So it moved me forward that way. Like, okay, there's literally nothing else to do.
Yeah, it's Erpine is a good one to start with.
Oh, good. Who did I start with last time that I definitely bounced on was Leonard.
I was going to say, did you ever try Revenge of the Seven?
I have not. No, I played like 25 hours of that game. I don't know if it was the... didn't it get remade for... Or not remade, but like ported to Vita?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a remaster of it based on a cell phone version.
Yep, I played about 25 hours of that on the Vita and using our Man in Japan's guide to try to get through stuff. Talk about a novel length FAQs.
Yeah, it's still amazingly accurate for the remake. allowing for some differences in the way the battle system works and just the overall difference in the world map. It's still a decent guide as long as you don't mind looking for everything else along the way.
I was doing pretty good with it. I think the what eventually got me was I had I'd gotten 25 hours in. Okay, I'm doing well. You know, I've gone through 3-4 generations or so or such. I had not taken out one other than the one that you kind of do story wise right at the beginning. I had not taken out any more of the I had not taken out anybody else.
Ooh.
I was like, this is not going well. Yeah. 25 hours in, I probably should have been able to take out somebody.
Yeah.
Depends on how you're doing it.
there's somebody on a pirate ship, right? In the middle of a desert or something like that. And I think I saved on that. Yep. So I saved on that ship, which probably was a bad idea. Yes, there we go. That's exactly, that's exactly where I was like, okay, where I think this is where my saga ends with this one.
Where my dalliance ends.
It was a pretty big dalliance. I played it for...
Yeah, and 25 hours is not a bad time to put on something. I feel like the biggest difference between the original and the remake for a lot of players is just going to be... The remake has a lot more stuff that's just like sort of like built into the interface. It's just like, this is how this works, by the way.
It's more accessible for for a lot of people in various ways.
That's kind of like the Saga Rosetta Stone that I would recommend to new players.
Yeah. Even though, like I said, it is very much the same game. It's just, the presentation
is just much less opaque.
Yeah. Which you can argue is, a saga hallmark, but yeah.
Yeah, but it can be nice to also have, like, here's one of the best saga games, and here is a way to play it that might not scare you off.
Yep.
Yeah. If
you're not already a dyed-in-the-wool 400-episode listener.
Listen, cartels have known for decades about gateway drugs. Like, it's about time that video games, pick that up too.
Oh, video games picked that up a long while ago. Remember the Saga gacha game?
Yeah, I played a couple of them.
I was going to say, which one? Hadn't there been?
there's been a few.
Multiple. I got a friend that was hooked on that last one. Didn't it just shut down? Christmas time, or
I think it did late
last
year.
Yeah, sadly,
he was on that for 4 years.
I messed around with it for a while, but it was just like
it remains a gacha game.
I couldn't even bring myself to play the Dragon Quest gachas, so I get it.
They're things of evil. But, yeah, that's me. I played a little Revenge of the Seven. And Wheels is also currently streaming that.
I am, yes. I'm playing it on some new system or something. Seems to load a
little bit. That'd be silly. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk more about that system when there's a new Saga game announced for it.
Exactly. I feel like we're due.
And that would be a good idea.
We did get two of them last year, so...
We did, and we did... when did the Saga Frontier 2 remaster come out?
Last year. Like, late last year or early this year, I think.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I remember listening to you talk about it, Wheels, while I was hanging up Christmas lights, so...
There you go.
Yeah, like it was one of those things. Like we've just been inundated with Saga. We are spoiled.
We are very spoiled.
Growing fat off the land.
Still a few remasters. We haven't gotten Saga 2 or 3 remake.
And yeah,
obviously the big one.
We can keep hoping.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kawazu always brings them up alongside. Like he always brings up the ones that haven't been brought back as like things he wants, like 2 and 3 and Unlimited always end up coming up in interviews.
Yeah, I mean, he put Mr. S into Emerald Beyond.
Hmm.
I mean, there was absolutely no reason to bring Mr. S into Emerald Beyond, and except to remind people that this funny little guy exists, and hey, he is in. He's got a game that he helps out in another game. So
yeah. Like, we've gotten so many of the others, I would be genuinely shocked if we don't end up seeing the 2 and 3DS games. We should probably hit some of our many generous Saga-related questions.
Yes. Let me pull those up. Yeah. I don't have this open.
I do.
You have it open?
Since we were just talking about the Saga 3 remake, I have this important question from someone with a deeply distasteful username.
Oh, God.
Why do you hate Saga 3, aka Final Fantasy Legend 3, so much? From Saga 3 Rules 69.
Oh, this guy again.
Honestly, this is not the rudest letter I've ever gotten in regards to the Saga series.
Oh, not even close, but I just find his username deeply distasteful.
This is not the rudest.
Well, I mean, you say that every time.
From him!
Yeah.
Deeply distasteful person. Yeah, it's just kind of boring.
Yeah, short story. It sucks.
I'm not even willing to go to it sucks. I think it's much less interesting than if it sucked. It's just kind of boring.
I remember writing as part of an editorial like over a decade ago for the site, but it's just that Final Fantasy, I mean, part of what made Legend 1 and 2 work was the fact that the developers realized they did not actually have a lot of space to work with.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they played that to their advantage.
They're well suited to being Game Boy games.
Yeah. Legend 3 was trying to be Final Fantasy level plotline, but did not have the space to do it, did not have a lot of the architecture to do it, and gave up a lot of what was really interesting about the first two games in order to achieve this.
Mm-hmm. It's got nice music, though.
Yeah, it has great music. And I just remember remarking in this editorial that, I mean, I was like 12 years old at the time. I was playing through, and it was just... I realized while I was flying the airship around, trawling for the one enemy encounter that gave the most experience points, that this is boring. I mean, Final Fantasy Legend 2, you could just keep pressing forward, and since there was no effective experience points, you just gained stuff regardless.
Yeah, it was not really rewarding sitting around grinding when you could be pressing forward.
Yeah, and the fact and that the
every
the
second of your game is eating a battery, that's important.
Yeah, and since the transformation system in Legend 3 basically meant that you were... I mean, there was like 8 possible transformations at the highest level bracket. But it was like, since it changed around every time you leveled up, you had 3 times as one monster and 1 time as a second monster most of the time. Mm-hmm. And none of them were really that good.
Mm-hmm.
It was... Yeah, it was... lackluster compared to Legend 2 in many ways.
Yeah, it just sort of It just doesn't have much that stands out about it, ultimately.
No, I love to tell the story of how my obsession back in the day was always with, I want a real Final Fantasy and Game Boy. Because I had obsessed over the strategy guide for the first game I got for free from Nintendo Power. Which had happened after we'd already gotten rid of our NES, so did not play Final Fantasy 1 really until years later. But yeah, that's what I always pined for on my Game Boy, and when I finally got a game that was close to it, I was just like, yeah, I'm good, actually. I'm all set with this. This is slow as fuck. It turns out having those characters on screen did not make the game any better. In fact, it made it much worse.
Sounds great on paper, and then you play it.
And just the gameplay in general, like the systems in that game, just never really did anything for me.
They're more normal, but they're not like that remarkable into themselves.
No.
So,
now, I mean, what the DS remake did with Legend 3 was a lot more remarkable. And a lot more fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we want that one back.
Yeah.
But, we'll save that for our six-part podcast on the Saga 3DS remake that we have in the works for when that inevitable remaster comes about.
Can't wait for that.
Sounds good.
I'm still pining. It's never going to happen. I'm still pining for a remaster of the Wonderswan remaster of Saga 1. If you don't officially have it.
Why?
Because it's prettier and it's got colors. It's got colors. And it fixes some of the abilities.
Yes, but it still uses the original game's battle system. That was awful.
But I like the original
don't
Saga.
Don't fix everything, Wheels.
Like it as it
the
is.
Colors, Duke. But it would be nice to have as a curio.
Yeah.
But I can understand why it's not a high priority.
Yeah.
Do you think, here's one from Dear Friend Saga Minor. Do you think an unlimited Saga remaster could damage the series' recent momentum? I mean, I think there's a reason that they're being very careful about that one. Just by dint of the fact that, like, I think that there's a desire to do something a little more to it, since it's a game that I get the sense that even Kawazu was not 100% happy with.
I mean, it was almost a series killer.
Yeah. And so,
I mean, this is the kind of situation where you're not talking about remake, you're talking about redemption.
Yeah, you've gotta at least do something to that instead of just dumping it on digital platforms and being like, yeah, see what you make of it.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, so I think that, like, I don't think it could possibly be as damaging as it was before, because, like, if it comes out, it's a known quantity, and no one's going to be like, oh, this is the new Saga game. It's just like, oh. But at the same time, it might internally be like, you know, these previous, like, remasters and remakes have all sort of built an audience, and this one just kind of landed with a wet thud. You know, so you got to be strategic about what you do with that.
Yes, series veterans know exactly what they would be getting into, but anyone who really got into the last three releases would not know what they're getting into here.
Yeah, like it doesn't even matter what of the last few Saga releases you were pulled in by, like. Unlimited is going to be exactly as baffling as it was in 2003.
I still remember my sort of impression for Scarlet Grace, where it's like, okay, no, this isn't actually an impression. This is not a preview. This is fair warning. And if any game deserves a fair warning, it's Unlimited Saga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know what you're buying.
I remember way, way back in the day, now I feel old, Dave and I would bond over watching multi-part videos teaching you how
the magic... hour-long videos.
Yes, how the magic system worked in that game, and the also the conclusion that it wasn't very good.
Like, Magic I think we were on the same like chat room, and like this would have been 15 years ago now, I think. And the thing that sticks out in my mind is that prior to us bonding over Unlimited Saga, I think I've referenced this obliquely before, but prior to us bonding over Unlimited Saga, my thoughts on Wheels were that he had like an uncanny valley version of my opinions. They were just close enough that I was like, that it was obvious they were very similar, but just far enough away that they pissed me off. I fully was in, if one of my favorite old Futurama lines is Bender referring to someone as that jerk from the book club who steals my opinions. that was Wheels for me for about a month.
That's fair.
But yeah, and then Unlimited Saga brought us together as we were both just absolutely incapable of understanding.
Yes.
It. Despite hours and hours of comparing notes and YouTube videos.
Oh, God, what a weird 2010, game.
Heady times. But, yeah, so what can I say? I owe what threatens to be a lifelong friendship to Unlimited Saga, so who can say if it's bad or not?
We can say that it's bad, but we can still say that we appreciate what it has done for us.
But its consequences were very good for me.
The opposite of friendly fire. It's like friendly.
Like it, you know, there's certain kinds of comrades you only make in a foxhole.
Yep, there you go.
Let's see. If the Romancing Saga 2 remake team worked on another Saga game next, what game would you like to see them remake? From Budai Saga. Let's see. That's hard, because like they're running out of remakes.
Good ones.
I mean, they still haven't remade Romancing Saga 3 properly yet.
Yeah, like Romancing Saga 3 would be the obvious choice. There is a part of me that says it would be funny if it was Unlimited.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but...
But, yeah, Romancing Saga 3 feels like the safe bet. And I mean, I wouldn't be unhappy. Like, Romancing Saga 3 is really cool, and that team certainly knows their way around a Romancing remake.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly, I feel like that team's probably going to be move on to a different series.
Sucks. I mean, they went to Trials. They revitalized Mana with Trials of Mana. They helped revitalize Saga with Romancing Saga 2. I'm just wondering, where do you put them now?
Yeah,
a different Kawazu property. Give them Treasure of the Rudras.
Mm. Oh man, that would be nuts. I'd be into that.
Yeah, I've got a good one. Good one.
Mm. What?
Ooh. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles: The Crystal Bearers. That's what they can remake. There you go.
That one's already available on the Switch.
Series.
No, not that one. Not that one, Gaijin.
No, this is the Wii one.
Go
the one where you pick things up and throw them.
My favorite.
I love that game. It has an incredible vibe and great music and atmosphere, and like that combat sucks. I don't care.
There's a dancing rhythm game. God, what else is in that game? Like everything?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that game. None of it works quite right, but like there's an undeniable verve to the whole project.
Yes. What if there were superheroes in the Crystal Chronicles universe, because one of the race's crystals blew up and everyone got powers from it? If that sounds weird,
I think that might be the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a game that has like a real. Real joie de vivre.
I don't know what that means, but yes, exactly.
You've never heard that phrase?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it means joy of life.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I feel like if you're reviewing that game and criticizing all its individual little systems, you're missing the point.
Yeah, it's not a mechanics game. It's a vibes game.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the pretty pictures and the beautiful music, and take it for what it is.
Exactly.
An enormously hateful skeleton says, "Which saga has the game has the best music?" In all caps, except for Saga. Saga is properly capitalized.
Interesting.
Mysterious.
Let's go with Frontier.
It's really hard. There's so, like, the music is so good, and you can, like, you can tell that, like, whenever you listen to an old, like, Saga soundtrack, that, like, if the games had simply been more popular, people would not be able to shut up about this music.
Mm-hmm.
It's so rough. Like, it's hard to pick just one soundtrack. It's easy to, like, whenever I'm thinking of just, like, good Saga music, it's either, like, something from Frontier or something from Romancing. Like, I'm thinking about, like, I've had the fucking Battle with the Seven Heroes theme stuck in my head off and on for months.
I mean, I've had the Romancing Saga Minstrel song soundtrack in my collection for about since the time it was first available for sale in 2005.
Wow. So, coming in on its 20th anniversary.
Yeah, really. It's a good soundtrack. I know I had some disagreements with one of our former music guys on the old site because we had differences of opinion on which tracks on the soundtrack were better. he didn't like Ardent Rhythm very much. It was the Evil Red Mages theme song, the one with the just the kind of the weird yodeling going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good song. It's just he didn't like parts.
But Kenji Ito does some really, really good music. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's great and varied, but also always very obviously him.
Mm-hmm.
Nostalgically, I do have to give it to Frontier because that was my first real Saga game.
Yeah, and that main menu theme song forever lives in my brain.
For me, whenever I'm thinking about it, it's just like the sheer drama of that comes with just the basic battle theme. Dun! Like there's something about it that's just like a lot of battle themes, especially when you look at something like Final Fantasy. It's sort of driving, but there's not a lot of drama to it, unless it's a boss theme. But like the basic battle theme of Saga Frontier has this very up and down, like there are moments of like driving excitement and moments that sound like desperation just in the base battle team, and that's going to happen a lot to you in Saga Frontier, so it's very fitting. there will be basic battles where it's just like, what happened? I am over. But
yes.
It has a lot of emotional range for a basic combat theme. So that's whenever I think of just Saga music without any other qualifiers, that's one of the songs that comes to mind. It's like Battle 1 from Saga Frontier.
Yep. Or Final Fantasy Legend 2 soundtrack and just 8-bit awesomeness. Where I've watched videos talking about how Kenji Ito managed to somehow coax weird half tones out of the Game Boy of the original Game Boy speakers just by not putting notes in. It was like creating the impression. Illusion. Yep. And so it was things like I know I mentioned this on the podcast a couple of years ago, I'm pretty sure. But you know the main world theme, the overworld theme for Final Fantasy Legend 2. It starts off with a like an intro motif before going in. And so I was sitting at the local shopping center doing stuff, and I had the background music for the shopping center on, and I heard the same opening motif. But instead of going to it didn't do that. It went so it literally has the same opener as the Indiana Jones theme song. It took me over 30 years to realize this.
Wow.
Could have just gone straight into the Hydlide theme.
I mean, it is the same opener, and it just goes in a different direction after the first 9 notes.
Let's see. We've got a couple more that we can hit. What would you like to see out of the next non-remake / remaster Saga game from Lulwhoop Saga?
There's no telling what could happen. I mean, the joke used to be that, okay, here's a fairly normal Saga game, and the next one's going to be really off the wall. And everyone assumed that Scarlet Grace was the off-the-wall one, and the next one would be kind of more grounded and normal. And then we got Emerald Beyond.
Which is somehow weird.
Yeah.
Oh, you like the off-the-wall game, but it's mostly standard fantasy. Let's go weird.
Let's do Saga Frontier's weird mix of just like a bunch of worlds that are kind of stacked on top of each other and connected in weird ways. Saga Frontier,
I mean, this is like Final Fantasy Legend 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very similar.
It becomes very hard to determine where the series could go next, which is one of the nice things about it.
If they get the budget, I would love another game that looks and plays like the Romancing Saga 2 remake, but not I don't want them to just say, well, that was successful. Yes, I don't want them to say, well, that was successful. Let's copy that like whole progression system and the generations and everything. No. Use that engine. Use the battle system.
Use your technology.
We have the technology.
Now you have something you can reuse to create, fucking worlds that have like science, tech, and magic, and like horrible bio monsters and everything else. Do go nuts.
Yes. I feel like they could do something.
We have it in HD 2D though.
That would be an interesting tactic as well. But I also feel like that's largely saturated at the moment. They have a bunch of HD 2D projects, so. So Saga always zags where everyone else would zig anyway.
Anything HD 3D is just modern AAA games.
Yeah, that's just current graphics.
Yeah.
You do HD 3D and someone like screams at you for the fact that it was supposed to be that it should have been 4K 3D.
Let's make another Game Boy game. There you go. That's how you can zag.
Okay, that would be extremely
HD 2D. No.
SD2D, buddy.
Yes. Who needs colors? Colors are lame.
Colors are holding you back.
Yeah.
Monochrome.
Your imagination will fill in the colors.
Well, I mean, seriously, the things they did with the sprites on Legend 2 graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can see you can feel the color gradations in there, even though you know it's monochrome.
Mm-hmm. We have 4 shades, and we have made the most of them.
Somehow we have.
But yeah, my personal thought process would indeed be like if I were like, and my thoughts are much less interesting and unique than a lot of these would be, but like something like. Using that technology, the Romantic Saga 2 remake, to make one of the ones that has a really off-the-wall setting. That's what I want. But I will be happy with whatever they come up with, because I'm sure it will be interesting.
Yeah. Let's take this engine, make Saga Frontier 3.
Or Romancing Saga 4.
Or, yeah.
Ooh.
Eternally things that, like, Kawazu gets asked about.
Or make Saga 4.
Now there would be, now you're cooking with gas.
I know, I always thought, like, if you took Saga Frontier 2's element system and just turned that into a tactics game.
That could be neat.
So, like, the spells that your character had available were dependent on, first, which items they had equipped, and second, where they were standing and the relative elemental levels.
Really heavily terrain-based. That could be interesting.
Not just terrain-based, like, geomancy-based.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see. And, We got one more that I think we can hit. Someone keeps bringing up Dragon Quest. Real weirdo. If Dragon Quest crossed over with Saga, what game cast would you envision being chosen to be the ones crossing over from Saga M3?
I mean,
Dragon Quest
7. It wouldn't be a crossover in that sense. It would be more like Dragon Quest in the style of.
Yes. Which case, I can see a little light bulb appear over the Dragon Quest XII protagonist. I'll die happy.
I was thinking, it's like you can make your own party with like Dragon Quest monster style, except one of your main party characters is in fact a murder bot.
And that does fit into a few different Dragon Quests.
Yeah. Yep.
See, I want to see an ensemble game. I want to see it like Romancing Saga 2, where you got the generation systems and you start out with the Dragon Quest 1 hero.
You start out with Dragon Quest 3 hero, logically.
Oh, damn, that's right. you know, do it chronologically, do it release order, but 1, 2, 3 needs to come first, and then, you know, the fourth emperor is, you know, it starts our Zenithian heroes off.
Somehow make the Zenithian games actually fit together properly.
You could do something really weird with a generational version of Dragon Quest VII, though. As you go forward in time, you're also going further backward.
Well, can I play a shark? I like that idea. Get Shark Eye in there.
What was that?
I want to get Shark Eye. I think that was his name. The pirate. And 7.
Yeah, yeah.
Leave the hero's father? The game gets so twisted.
Yeah. I think a lot about, you know, I feel like you could build on the morose vibes of finding Kiefer's grave in a generational sort of title.
That is true. Yeah. He would always be there for generations to follow.
I think something that approaches things in an off-kilter direction would be the only way to honor both franchises. The history of Dragon Quest spin-offs is also frequently in doing weird things with side characters. And the history of Saga is doing weird things with everything.
It'd be the perfect side entry for both titles. And hey, listen, two of the big three Dragon Quest people are gone right now. Hori needs some help. Like,
I feel like Hori and Kawase would have happy discussions about old school game design.
Bring back the gambling.
Put it on Game Boy like Wheels once. Casinos.
Yes.
there you go. Put it all together.
I feel like you could do a weird spinoff of like Dragon Quest IX, where your main character is like an angel that and spin it in with a generational thing. So you come down and save the world, and then come down again later when another crisis happens, and kind of.
So there's your continuation.
This feels like you're going to end up accidentally recreating ActRaiser instead.
Sort of, but no. Like you'd have your party instead of like going down through the generations, having different emperors. Your party would be consistent, but the world would change as you complete adventures. Mm. I feel like that could be interesting. Yeah. But yes, I guess that is
kind of like that. Yeah, you do end up producing something like ActRaiser, which is not a bad thing to produce.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, if you're thinking about both franchises, and both of them also love being random to start with. I mean, like, Mystery Dungeon as a franchise branched off of a Dragon Quest spinoff.
That is very true.
So, you know, there's actually a lot of meat on the idea of, like, finding a way to meld those two together. But part of that also means that, like, any given person who's familiar with both franchises could come up with, like, a different, completely appropriate way to put the two together.
Mystery Dungeon, you say. Mystery Dungeon plus Saga. Like that idea.
Saga Mystery Dungeon, like, would break a certain kind of player. Like, it's too
Saga random. Roguelike, yeah, you'd actually have to rely on sparking stuff every single run. And you have no idea what you would end up with.
Yeah, like, it would actually break a certain kind of roguelike player.
So let's do it.
Yeah, no, I want to watch the world burn, so yes. You know, I think that runs us mostly out of questions for today, but I'm always happy to we're always happy every week to be your saga related podcast. You are allowed to talk of non-saga things for plugs.
Well, too bad, because I was just thinking, like, there many years ago, I actually came up with a set of plots for sequels.
Mm.
For things.
Do tell. Hey, wait! Did you guys do your? What? Sorry, did you guys do your saga episode yet?
What? We always do saga. We only do saga. Every episode. What are you talking about?
Every episode saga. Hi, well, are you doing saga?
I have things to say about Saga. Would you like to hear?
Yes, do tell.
Sure, why not? Let's keep going.
Okay, well, so there's this Saga game I played, and I think it was called Saga Ea, and it was on the Genesis. Oh. It was a shoot-em-up game, right?
I don't know that counts.
And it was also called Darius 2 sometimes. I thought that was a little weird. Okay.
If there's that many fish in it, it's not a real Saga game.
So then, but it's like, I thought it was weird. So they did a shoot 'em up on Genesis, but then on the Sega Saturn, there was another Saga game, and it was like the third game in a series. And the first two were just kind of shoot 'em ups, sort of like 3D. But then they did an RPG. So it had a weird kind of German name, and you like ride around on a dragon. I think it was called Panzer Dragoon Saga. You know, so maybe that's the European spelling of the name.
Let me ask you the most important question. Which letters were capitalized in the word Saga in that game's title?
All of them. I don't know.
Well, that's not a perfect clue anyway. Unlimited Saga doesn't capitalize the G.
Damn it. Son of a bitch. So there was that, it was a Saga game, Panzer Dragoon Saga, and now it's like $400 on eBay.
Also, that game kicks ass. So I can't even say
that Saga game, right? And then my mom used to play a Saga game on her phone, and it's like a puzzle game, and there's like these little pieces of candy, and you have to like break them down into smaller pieces of candy to solve puzzles. I think it was called Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that was random.
That has the word saga in it.
Yeah, it's a saga game. I mean, it's a weird series, right? Every game's a different genre. You know, I don't get it.
That's the magic of Saga.
So then there's some recent news. They're going to re-release Saga T, but for some reason it's going to be a DLC for Street Fighter VI.
Oh, I hate you so much.
So I guess you play as this, like, this dude from Thailand, and he's got an eye patch, so he might be like a pirate or something. And he just really loves tigers, and I think he's trying to save his pet tiger, and he shoots fireballs out of his hands and just yells, "Tiger, tiger, tiger." Yeah.
While doing an uppercut, yes.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
So those are the Saga games that I've played.
So your mom didn't evolve from Candy Crush Saga into like the Bubblewit Saga or the Farm Hero Saga games? Like, there's a whole...
Well, they evolved.
Like Bubblewit 2 Saga.
Yeah, well, she started with Angry Birds and then evolved into Candy Crush Saga. Yeah. But then, but you know what? When I was a kid, though, she got really into Dr. Mario. Like she wouldn't let me play my own Nintendo system because she was too busy killing them viruses. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Dr. Mario. Like, you have come in and you have made a mockery of our prestigious 400 episode podcast of talking about nothing. But
I have no idea what you're talking about. Those are Saga games. Those are the ones I played.
I mean, it's right there in the title. You can't believe,
and there's a
Saga Joe Gamer would not have brought us.
Yeah. So there's this other Saga game I didn't play, though. The Banner Saga. Was that any good?
Like three of those.
Are those good Saga games? Okay, but then...
Technically?
But then I did play this other... I played this demo for a game, though. It was just seemed like just a weird, regular, like, JRPG. It was just a demo. I don't know if it counts, but I think it was called Emerald Beyond or something.
There we go.
And I had to fight a Minotaur and get him to chase me, and then he fell down a well. It was weird. Yeah. So, what
game is he talking about?
Who can say?
And maybe I could be Saga Joe Gamer. Yeah, that's not a bad nickname. Saga.
That's branding.
Yeah, that's. I don't know.
We play Saga games.
Yeah. It's great.
You came in just as we had finished our questions.
I know you love your alliterations.
Do you have any questions?
Well, I have any questions? Oh, I don't know. Well, I want to clear something up that I said on Shenanigans. It turns out if you can get yourself the Switch 2 GameCube controller, it does have the share button, home button, select button. So I might want to pick one of those up, you know, if they ever make more and the eBay scalpers stop.
I don't know what that is. Price.
Okay.
What's a Switch 2?
Exactly. And I was fully prepared to talk about the Microsoft handheld, but, you know, we don't have to, though.
Does it play Saga?
No, there's no Saga games on that. We'll talk about that. We can talk about that in another podcast.
I think actually a lot of those are on Xbox.
There might be
some of them.
There might be. Well, I think the stipulation is they have to be Play Anywhere titles, or they have to be the PC version from the Xbox app on the computer. Yeah, you can't just play anything on there. So
I'd like a pain in the ass.
You can play Saga games on Steam Deck, though.
Yeah, and you can play Saga games on a lot of things now. You can play them on your phone.
It's great.
There's no excuse.
Requires using a Steam Deck.
You can play them on your phone. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Quite a few of them, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the remasters that they've done over the past few years, plus, I think, Emerald Beyond and Scarlet Grace. But, so that, we are prepared to talk about Saga for another 400 episodes.
Wow.
But, that's 400 more years. But
I'm gonna say, gosh, you're gonna have to bring in a Wheels progeny.
It's a generational podcast.
Saying I ain't getting them to play Saga games. Are you kidding me? Can't even get them to play an RPG.
All they play is Fortnite.
When they put Saga in Fortnite, that will trick your children.
They put Saga in Vampire Survivors.
They did put it in Vampire Survivors.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's
yeah. So it might. If one day it might reach Fortnite, who can say? fucking Red from Saga Frontier in his fucking Alkaiser outfit's gonna fucking gonna be doing Fortnite dances next to Darth Vader.
I'm okay with this.
Is Darth Vader still racist?
No, they passed. He's not in the game anymore.
Yeah, if you give a sufficiently determined group of people access to an AI voice synthesizer, they will absolutely do that forever. So hopefully they don't do that again. But yeah.
Should I end the bit and thank our dear listeners for putting up with us for 400 episodes?
What bit? I suppose
we can. Jesus. Now that you've said, should I end the bit?
Now that you revealed it's a bit. Oh, all right. Yeah, it was a bit.
They knew it was a bit. Our listeners aren't that stupid.
We referenced half of our frequent questioners.
Maybe one or two of them, but not all 30.
I mean, I would hope some of them didn't think, did I just tune into a podcast from an alternate universe? My God.
Wheels in the multiverse of madness.
Yes, exactly. I don't know why you've listened to us that long, but I can't thank you enough for sending us many questions and tuning into streams and whatnot.
Yeah, even if you weren't sending us questions, if you're just passively listening, I'm even more confused but more grateful.
Yes, I mean, this is a show where a group of friends can hang out and chat about video games and
frequently Saga.
Yes, and I enjoy doing it immensely because it gives me a weekly appointment to socialize, which is kind of cool. So
it also explains a great deal about our conduct. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, really.
So yes, I can't thank everyone enough for listening to us for this long. It's not just 400 episodes; it's 10 fucking years. As Smoking Joe Gamer kindly reminded us earlier this year.
I did. Really. I was like, "Are you going to do anything for your anniversary?"
Yeah, and we're like, "Wait, what? Excuse me."
Neither of us had seemingly thought about that for more than a few minutes.
No.
So there's been 400 episodes, but I think I've only been on like 100 or 150. I don't know.
As percentages go, you're still up there with the Titans.
Good.
Wheels is the only one who's been on all of them.
The traditional 10th anniversary gift is like tin or aluminum gifts. Like, I don't know.
Really?
You gonna send me a tin can, motherfucker?
I mean, I was thinking like a can of Coke or, you know what? Yeah. I bet a lot of collective, those are steel books though. Not are they made of steel, really? Are they more like aluminum books?
I think they're just called steel books. I don't know what their actual metallic composition is.
And I think if you actually like step on one, it will dent and then break the disc anyways. Yeah. So I don't think it really protects your games.
No, they just look cool.
So hold on, Wheels. Do you like Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Okay, then I'll send you a 12-pack of Pepsi.
Son of a bitch.
You'll get all the aluminum you could ever want.
I thought we were friends. You monster. Why would you do this?
It'll be my revenge for you giving me Metal Gear Survive.
Oh, damn shit.
Shit, I still never played it, by the way.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
I know. I'll never sell it, though.
The gift, it would be rude.
Yeah, it was a gift. I you know, wouldn't want to. Yeah. Be rude to get rid of it.
Well, I mean, that's the same reason I always challenge people. Like, you send me a copy of Mugen Soul Z, I will be for honor bound to not only keep it, but to play it. And then I fooled you all by just buying the remaster myself for some reason.
Yeah, why did you do that?
I don't know. Morbid curiosity.
You just do things.
I do. You just you do should things. Know this by now.
I will paraphrase a important line from another saga game, Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga, which is spelled S, capital S and capital G.
Oh no.
Which is, I believe Wheels is like Dog and just sort of does things arbitrarily.
Sometimes, yeah, actually.
Do a brief non-shit post. We're probably going to gush a lot about what we've been playing on Switch 2 next week, so be prepared for that. But before that, I want to make sure that our dear co-hosts and collaborators have a chance to plug what they've been doing.
Well, one of these days I will actually write a couple novels worth of stuff based on original saga fan game ideas from 25 years ago. This will eventually happen. Probably. It'll be weird when it does. But for stuff I actually have written and have available right now, first of all, we have Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. If you enjoy tabletop role-playing games, but don't have enough time to actually enjoy them, and you don't mind living vicariously through other people's poor dice rolls and poorer personal decisions, because, let's face it, not everybody has the same wisdom score as their character in the game. Quite often not. Then Princesses of the Pizza Parlor, almost ready to put out the next one, next of the side stories, so that'll be very soon 13 episodes, 5 side stories, and a paralogue. Or not quite War and Peace length. Again, working on it. But getting there. And otherwise we have in the new and ever-fluctuating subgenre of lit RPG, that is literature with intentional role-playing game elements and stat checks, we have Vainglorious Longs of the Night, where I decided that, you know what, the genre needs more Metroidvania stuff, so I did that. And finally, we have Tanuki is a Teapot, Japanese folktales about animals. Again, all of this is under the name Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu, and Maikel, for that matter, available on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Thank you.
Before Saga Joe goes, I'll get in with my little plugs.
Sure.
Wherever you're listening to this on, you can probably find the RPG Backtrack episodes from RP Gamer. We get people together. A lot of these people here have been on there. Every 2 weeks, we talk about games that are usually 2 years older or longer. That's our benchmark. We try to backtrack a little bit, a couple years in the past, talk about what games are there, or we talk about even way back farther. So we got RPG Backtrack podcast, anywhere podcasts are found. Also, I'm a co-host. We were talking about Wheels being part of a extended universe. There is a Slime Time extended universe. We call it The Stew. We've got, 4 or 5 different kind of things all going together. We started as a Dragon Quest podcast, primarily still are, Dragon Quest Slime Time. And then we branched out with some side quest episodes. We've got now episodes on anime, Dragon Quest-based anime, Dragon Quest-based Brave Yoshihiko, I think is what we're talking about on one of our podcasts now. A show that was in Japan that kind of makes fun of Dragon Quest tropes. It's just anything Dragon Quest related or RPG related, you can probably find an episode on it on Dragon Quest Slime Time Extended Universe.
One day there will be a saga crossover, and then the universe will be complete.
Yeah, you know, yes. We haven't had a saga episode yet in SideQuest.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know where to find us.
That's true.
All right,
Saga Joe Gamer.
Yeah, okay. So it's actually Smoke and Joe Gamer on Twitch, YouTube, and Blue Sky and Discord. You can find me on those platforms. So Metroidvania 2025 is over, you know, because it's not May anymore. But all episodes and live streams are all on YouTube. If you want to check those out, there's a playthrough of Super Metroid, Imp of the Sun, a little bit of Chasm, some Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, Blasphemous 2 DLC. Yeah, so there's a bunch of videos I did for that. But now it's switched to June. You know, May switched to June. Yeah. So I got my Switch 2 on Friday. I did an unboxing video for YouTube that's about 10 minutes long. You can check that out if you'd like to. And then I did a live stream of just bouncing around between different games to see, you know, what they look like, how they perform. So going forward, I'm still going to be streaming Wednesdays and Saturdays starting around 8 o'clock. That's Eastern time. And so just going to be doing all kinds of Switch 2 games for the whole month and even beyond that probably. So Mario Kart World, F-Zero GX, anything that could be played on Switch 2. Maybe part of a Twitch stream, and I'm still going to do additional content for YouTube. You know, if I come up with any songs or if I want to do a guitar improv video, if I want to do an album review, that stuff would go on YouTube. So do consider checking that out, please. And that's all I got for you.
If you want to hear us playing whatever, we had a good shenanigans stream of Mario Kart World last night.
That was great.
I almost won the last.
That game was a ton of fun.
So hard.
So that's a great time. Our shenanigans streams are Sundays at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, and our Q&A quest streams are 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. We will be back to our regularly scheduled program with episode 401. So no need to worry about that. 401 is unauthorized for shitposts. But... we'll probably talk like I said, we'll talk a lot about the Switch 2, I think. But otherwise, I think that's we referenced a number of people who have provided a lot of questions for us throughout the run. We hope your Saga Eyes usernames do not offend you. We just wanted to pay a little tribute to some of the people who have given us many questions over the years. But this was by no means an exhaustive list. There were some that I was thinking about, how can I come up with a question that would incorporate this person's name, and it just didn't happen. So don't be offended if you were not Saga Eyes for this episode. that about wraps it up for us. We will see you same Saga time, same Saga channel next week. So see you, Space Cowboys.
See you.
See you.
Bye.
Good night.